Welcome to the latest edition of the Registers of Scotland podcast. I'm Roman Smith and I'll be today's podcast host as we look back at what ROS has accomplished over the past year. Today I will be joined by Keeper of the Registers of Scotland, Jennifer Henderson, to look back over ROS's year and review the many new services, improvements and initiatives that ROS has undertaken in the past 12 months. 2022 has been another busy year at Registers of Scotland. Jennifer, can you give us a recap of the highlights this year that our customers will most benefit from?
Thanks, Roman, and thanks for having me along to talk about it. I can't believe 2022 has flown by. There's several highlights, I think, that customers will benefit from, so I'm only going to call out a few. Probably top of my list is that Register of Deeds is now accepting electronic documents as well as paper documents. That is huge for ROS. It's our last register that wasn't able to accept digital documents, and it now is. So people can submit both paper and digital documents to that. And I know customers are really appreciating that. Other highlights, obviously, in terms of the day job, the processing of registration applications, we've driven up our performance across the board there in terms of the kind of number of cases we're processing within 35 days. And in our kind of first registration and transfer apart areas, those have both improved. And that is obviously good news for customers. In terms of how you get stuff back out of ROS, again, we've had the necessary legislation go through that means that people can get extracts from us in a digital form from the Books of Council and Session, which I know our customers are appreciating when that's what they want, because sometimes they definitely don't want paper. So our ability to legally send them an extract digitally, as well as digital extracts of Saisine deeds. And on the subject of Saisine deeds, I know for customers, the ability to self-serve copy deeds through Scotlist has been a sort of real transformation. Our customers who I know are often working late in the evening on cases, their ability to self-serve what they need rather than have to wait till customer services open in the morning and phone them up. And then just a final couple of things I'd call out as highlights in terms of new things we've provided this year. We've launched the Register of Persons Holding a Controlled Interest in Land, so communities and individuals can now access that information to find out who are the people who are sitting behind organisations that own and hold land in Scotland, and therefore who are the people who are making the decisions about that land. And just a plug, while I'm talking about RCI, people who are submitting to it will be aware there was a period of a year to get your submission in, and that comes to an end in March 2023. So if you haven't done it yet and you know you need to, please do, and phone up customer services if you need any guidance on that. And the final thing we've done that I think will really benefit our customers is we've put a lot more information on our website about how we're performing. So if you want to know anything about how many cases we've had in a month, how many we've processed, how many we've dispatched, how many cases we have left from previous years and things like that, all of that information is there. And we're really interested to get feedback on those performance pages. So if you've been looking at them and you think, oh, it'd be helpful if ROS could also provide a bit more information about this aspect of their performance, please do just get in touch, because we're very happy to update them.
Thanks, Jennifer. That's a lot of activity, and I can imagine a lot of people have benefited from these changes. Have there been any specific highlights from your point of view as keeper?
Yeah, I guess I would call out some stuff that will be a bit less visible to our customers, but is really important to how we're going to work going forward. So we've really embraced hybrid working as an organisation. And I think that is invisible to our customers. And that's a good thing, because actually that means that we're able to support colleagues in working in the way that works best for them, but we're still able to deliver really good service to our customers. And in fact, I talked earlier about the improvements in our performance that we've delivered, and I absolutely think that's underpinned by hybrid working, the ability for colleagues to work in the place that allows them to do their best day's work is good for them, but it's also good for delivering the best possible performance for our customers. I think a couple of other things, which again, a bit less visible to customers, but it's going to be really important for ROS as we move into the future. Customers will be aware we adopted a new approach to delivering the benefits of a complete land register by doing this work around unlocking Saisines. You can read more about that on our website. That has really taken off this year. We have been adding huge amounts of land across Scotland through that method, unlocking who the owner is, providing the ability to look at a map and tie that to the ownership information. And just a little peek at what's coming ahead, the little while we've got coming up over the next year or so is going to be all about how we make that information more visible to our customers. And again, other things we've done that I think will stand us in good stead going forward, but perhaps customers aren't yet seeing the benefit of, we managed to process our first land registration deed signed by a qualified electronic signature. This is something that customers have been asking for a while, whether we can get to that point, and we've done the proof of concept for it now. And I think as qualified electronic signatures become more widely used, that will be something that we can start to build on. We collaborate with other organisations. So again, people will be aware that the UK government introduced the Register of Overseas Entities to try and provide greater transparency around where overseas entities are owning land in the UK. It's a Companies House register, but we've obviously worked closely with Companies House as that was brought in. So I'm always really conscious that we're supporting that wider endeavour. And then a final thing I'd call out that was probably particularly significant for ROS this year was obviously we were all very affected and very sad by the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. But ROS had an important role to play in supporting the process of the new monarch, His Majesty King Charles III, stepping into that role. And one of the things obviously the King does is sign Acts of the Scottish Parliament. So we have now taken that first Act of the Scottish Parliament, which was the Cost of Living Tenant Protection Scotland Bill, through the process, signed by him, countersigned by me, and now in legislation. So playing our part in that part of history, I think, was something that's been significant for us as an organisation this year.
Thanks, Jennifer. All the links to the blogs and web pages that you've mentioned will be in the podcast description for you to go and have a look at as well. So, turning from our digital registration journey, the past year has also seen us return to more in-person events, as well as continuing to host virtual events to keep our engagement as accessible as possible. Could you pick out a few highlights of these events?
I think, Roman, I probably speak for all colleagues when I say an overall highlight this year has been the opportunity to get back to some in-person events. But having said that, I would also reflect that we learned a lot during the COVID years about how valuable our virtual events are, particularly to our very distributed customer base, the ability for people to come and engage with us and get information from ROS without having to travel and go to a particular venue. So going forward, it's definitely going to be a mixture of both. A few highlights, which were a mixture of in-person and virtual. So we run a very well-regarded webinar program. I suspect there's probably nobody listening who hasn't been to one of our Scotlist webinars. But one of the things we did this year was we sort of asked customers, what would you like us to do a deeper dive into? And we ran two policy and practice workshops in spring this year. I mentioned the Register of Persons Holding a Controlled Interest in Land earlier. That was a definite hot topic for this year. I think the colleagues who are leading on that register have been all over the place. They did the policy and practice workshop. They went to the Royal Highland Show because that was definitely an area where they recognised there'd be a number of customers who potentially would need to come and register in that register. And they've been out and about at a number of conferences, making sure everyone who needs to know what that register is all about is aware. Other things that were highlights, we ran our second annual report and accounts launch event. So we did it for the first time in 2021. I think it's a really important opportunity for customers and stakeholders to come along, hear us discuss what we've achieved in the previous reporting year and ask any questions they want to ask. And that's kind of bookended by 6 months earlier, we did our corporate plan launch event. So that's another opportunity in the annual calendar for customers and stakeholders to come along, hear us talk about what we're planning to do in the year ahead, and then come along to the annual report and accounts event and hear us talk about what we have delivered. And then there's just been a raft of conferences that colleagues have spoken at, all of which are targeted at getting out and getting our messages and providing an opportunity for customers to ask questions about what we're doing. We did the CLT Commercial and Conveyancing Conferences. We supported one of the Law Society of Scotland presidential tour activities. We got out to the Service Design in Government. We got to the Digital Scotland Conference. We got to the Government Data Summit. And I think it's a really interesting reflection about how the work that ROS is doing, yes, we're spending time going out and talking to the customers who come and use our services, but we're also spending time sharing the work we've been doing in the digital and data space with other organisations who are facing similar challenges. We are also, one thing I'd call out, we are continuing to support Geovation. We continue to have a number of cohorts of Geovation organisations, and we've run a couple of events and supported a couple of events around Geovation. Again, a bit of a plug. If you don't know anything about Geovation, do go to our website and find out more about it. And then we've just been invited to go and speak at a number of events, things like the Law Society of Scotland's annual conference. And again, anyone listening, if you would like someone from ROS to come and speak at your event, if you think it's relevant to your stakeholders, if, you know, just get in touch and we will support that if we can. The email address to get hold of us is events@ros.gov.uk. And that's also the email address to go to if you're thinking, oh, I'd like to make sure I get the invites for any of these events that ROS is at or hosting. Again, drop an email to that email and we can make sure you're added to the right mailing lists to be told. Final thing I would just call out in terms of the sort of getting out and about and talking about our work and providing the opportunity for people to ask questions. Everything I've described is focused, I think, mostly on the sort of customers and stakeholders. I'd also want to talk about the fact that we have had our parliamentary committee appearances and we've run a number of events for members of the Scottish Parliament and MPs to come along and hear about what we do and hear about how we can help them support their constituents. And those are really important. I'm obviously accountable to the Scottish Parliament, so it's really important that MSPs and MPs, if that's how people choose to engage, know how we can help them.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's certainly been a busy year for events at ROS. It really has been a year of great engagement and technological change. How has ROS invested in its staff and services to maintain its high service standards?
It's a great question, Raymond. I mean, again, people who are very familiar with our corporate plan and our strategic objectives will know we have a specific strategic objective around inspiring our colleagues to be able to give their very best to the organisation. And that obviously means as an organisation, we need to invest in them. I guess I'd start by picking out where we've got some external recognition for what we've been doing. We won the Operational Delivery Professional Award at the Modern Civil Service Awards. That was for our digital submission system. And I think the colleagues who were involved in that work, and that was a lot of colleagues across ROS, really appreciated the fact that right across the civil service, we were seen as an organisation that had invested in our people to enable them to deliver something that was really groundbreaking. Similarly, we've been working very hard. And again, this mostly is invisible to customers, but it's fundamental to underpin things like self-service copy deeds. We've been moving a lot of our registration activity into the cloud. That's required an awful lot of work from a number of very skilled colleagues. And we were shortlisted for a transformation award for that work. Colleagues who have expertise in our mapping work, and again, anyone who's familiar with our work will know that the mapping work is a fundamentally underpinning part of it. We won the Geography and Government Award. We've got a 30-year-old, or we had, I should say, we had a 30-year-old IT infrastructure system that supported our mapping work. This is the year when we finalised the work to replace that and move the entirety of Scotland's Land Register to a new sustainable digital platform that will stand us in good stead going forward. And it was really gratifying, I think, for the colleagues involved to get external recognition for the application of their skills to that. And I think it's really interesting. I don't think customers would have noticed that that's happened, because we delivered that huge replatforming task without a single delay, outage or disruption to customers' ability to interact with the systems that sit in front of those systems. Other things we've been investing in terms of supporting our people to do their work, we have been promoting our work around equality, diversity and inclusion. And one of the things that came up from colleagues was a recognition that not all of our customers will necessarily have English as their first language. And so we've been talking about whether we could do more to support customers who might prefer to have a conversation in a different language. And credit to my customer services team, they did a great job of going out across the organisation, finding out who we had in ROS who was a native speaker with another language. And we now have a language support network in place. So a customer who might prefer to have a conversation in a different language, that's something they can ask for. And if we have a colleague who can support that conversation, because that's the language they also speak, we're able to provide that. And I think all of this work that we've done around kind of enabling our people to really perform brilliantly was recognised in our Investors in People assessment. We go every year through an Investors in People assessment. Last year, we got our gold award, and our assessor who came back this year not only recognised that we'd absolutely retained the standard to be gold, but he could see progress. He could see that we've moved on from the previous year and done even more. And I think we're embedding initiatives around how we support colleagues in managing their performance. We're embedding initiatives around how we help colleagues develop new skills that will enable them to support the organisation going forward. So I'm really confident we'll continue to progress on that invest in people journey. We've invested in something called Grow Our Own in the last year. So that is taking colleagues who particularly want to develop some skills in our kind of digital areas and very specifically retraining them to have those skills. And that will be something we'll be building on in the year ahead. And the final thing I think I'd mention that I'm particularly proud of that we've achieved as an organisation, I mentioned our equality, diversity and inclusion work earlier. We've done some inward facing work with that, where we've developed something called a colleague passport. So colleagues who might need particular adjustments to do their job as effectively, we've created a way of that information travelling with that colleague. That's why it's called a passport, I guess, so that if they change roles, they don't have to have the whole conversation all over again about what support they need to deliver as effectively as possible. So that is just the tip of the iceberg of everything I think we've done in terms of investing in colleagues' skills and where the recognition of the application of those skills has come from externally.
That's quite a full year, and we've covered it all very rapidly. But before we have to end the podcast, can we talk a bit about what is coming up for ROS in 2023?
I'm very sure, Raymond, that 2023 is going to be just as busy and just as exciting as 2022. And I'm sure it's going to go past even faster. I know there'll be new challenges. I think, you know, we're already heavily thinking about the cost of living crisis, what that might mean in terms of the impact on the work that comes to us, what that might mean in terms of, you know, how we deliver our work effectively. Probably the biggest thing I'd want to call out for customers who are listening is I'm very, very aware that the amount of long-standing open casework we have remains something that customers are concerned about. And I know customers appreciate that we are getting better and better at the turnaround times on new cases, but I also know customers want to see really substantial progress on that long-standing open casework. And that is something I fully anticipate we will deliver in the year ahead. I'm looking forward to sitting here in a year's time talking about how well that has progressed. But in a bigger thing, I think the climate crisis is something that's been very sort of present in our minds over the last year. And we want to continue to do our part as an organisation in reducing our carbon emissions and meeting our carbon targets. As I mentioned before, we're championing hybrid working as the best way of colleagues delivering. That means we're able to do something quite different with our buildings and think about how we share that space and therefore reduce the amount of carbon we're responsible for. But also thinking about encouraging for colleagues who are coming into the office more active travel and so on and so forth. So, you know, I think it's really important as an organisation that we recognise we have this kind of role to play as a corporate citizen in Scotland, as well as the services we deliver. And finally, one of the things I guess I'd reflect on is nothing that we've achieved in the last year and nothing that we will achieve in the year ahead is possible without the support of our customers, stakeholders and colleagues. So I'd like to end by saying a huge thank you to everyone for your support throughout 2022. I hope you feel part of all the highlights that we've covered today and you understand, yeah, the significant contribution you've made to them. And I am really looking forward to working with everyone to take ROS forward into 2023. Thank you.
That was a whistle-stop tour of what ROS has been up to this year. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I hope that this has given our listeners an insight into how we work and maybe brought something that you've missed in the past 12 months to your attention. As I mentioned, all the links to the blogs, webinars and videos can be found in the podcast description, and we encourage you to take a look at this. Thank you to our keeper and CEO, Jennifer Henderson, and to all of you for listening. I hope you tune in again in 2023 to see where ROS is going next. Please subscribe to our podcast at anchor.fm/registers of Scotland. This podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thank you for listening.